Welcome into the Sports Objective. I am Dave Richmond. Glad to have you here on a Wednesday night hump day edition. And ladies and gentlemen, first, let's bring in the man that's better as a ladies' man than Tim Meadows. And of course, that's Kyle from the McGrange Barber. How are you, sir?
Sitting here with a nice bottle of Cavassier.
And another ladies' man, but he's married now, so he's retired from the ladies' man thing. And that's the P-Man. How are you?
It is an honor to be back with you guys, and great to see you, Dave, and great to hear Kyle here tonight.
No question, a lot to talk about. I know you're limited time, so you got a call with the wife here in a little while, so we want to go ahead and get started with, by the way, fans, if you have anything you'd like to ask P-Man, then you can put those on Facebook or YouTube, and we'll get those questions out. Wow. Put those on the screen for P-Man. Yeah, absolutely. We're moving up in the world, my friend.
This is good.
No question. So want to get your thoughts. Obviously disappointed as far as the basketball season with COVID hurting Joe Dooley's staff. And want you get your thoughts on that.
So, you know, it's interesting. I got to spend some time with Joe in his office Sunday before the game when they wrapped up the season. And, you know, a lot of the things that Joe was talking about beyond just that game were quite interesting. It's been a rough year of starts and stops. You know, he said this is almost like a second or third season, really. And I mean, you know, so I know you all are on the Facebook, and you know how they do that memory thing where past posts or whatever. So I see one yesterday, a year ago, I was in my second day of the bridge show between David Glenn and Adam Gold, and the transitional champion for all you wrestling fans out there. And I was that day talking to Wes Moore, who was the ECU women's coach for 15 minutes, after State had just won their first title. I forget who else was on there, but I remember Greg Murphy was on there with Dr. Murphy, who's in the Walter Jones seat. And I remember him saying he would not go to the ACC tournament if he were a fan. He would not go to the state championship games, which were going to be played that weekend, which I was going to do if he were a partisan for one of the teams. And I thought to myself, that's just a guy being overly cautious. So here we were literally on the verge of the world coming to an end sports-wise in 2020 a year ago today. What I bring this up because the Pirates were there to take you all behind the curtain. We had done an interview with Joe the day before to air on Thursday to, you know, promote the ECU game that night. And of course, we get the real time happening at 12:15 that Florida State's warming up on the floor and they're about to wrap this thing up. And when I started seeing that on the social media, I'm shoving, you know, everything down because the Joe interview, you know, we didn't have him live, so we couldn't ask for real time reaction. But, you know, we were having to shelve everything and book guests on the fly to find out what was going on in Greensboro, what was going on in Fort Worth, what was going on at different places around the country. So I think there's a great deal of gratitude to be back and be playing this. You know, in Memphis is shorthanded. Memphis is probably going to get to the title game to get into the big dance, which is good for the American if they do. SMU is shorthanded, probably would have to win the whole thing at this point, to be quite honest with you, to get in. Wichita looks like they're safely in. Obviously, Houston, Lenardi's got them as high as a 2. All good for the Americans. So this is one of those deals where, you know, the old SEC chant, AAC, is what Pirate fans should be chanting whenever their season does come to an end, if it doesn't result in an appearance or even if it does result in an NCAA tournament appearance, they get hot and pull off a great miracle and win the title. You know, you want the conference to do well. You want as many teams to get in there as possible. So I'm really rooting for Memphis this weekend beyond the Pirates because that's good for the American. That's good for the bottom line in this day and age to get teams in the NCAA. Here's the thing I noticed the other day. Joe Dooley's really got, if we're being really frank, guys, Joe Dooley's got not a whole lot of places to go with Pig out and with Baruti, who's on the trip and may play. We'll see. But, I mean, with those guys out, to a lesser degree, Coleman, that's just a tough, tough deal. I mean, there was just nowhere to go when ECU hits, unfortunately, these inevitable lulls in the second half of a game that they are nip and tuck in. And they wind up, that's what you know, hurt him against Cincinnati the other day. I do think this. I think the Bearcats are going to beat SMU when they do play in the quarterfinal 4-5 matchup, because I think, you know, SMU's been out of this, has not played a game since the ECU game.
Yeah.
And they have yet to come back. So that's kind of my belief. But look, I'm still a Joe Dooley believer. Dave, you and I are old school. We remember Joe the first time Kyle does too, I'm sure.
Sure.
But we're, you know, look, I still believe in Joe. Joe's all over the recruiting trail. I think this kid from BC is going to be productive. Joe may or may not have given me some thoughts on that off the record. But, I mean, here's the legitimate situation there. A good kid got caught in a bad situation with this COVID madness, but he averaged 14 and shot 40% from behind the arc in a big boy league. He'll be a really big help. And look, it's going to be the Wild West with this transfer portal. It'd be interesting to see what happens with the Pirates. I mean, look, all the teams that are on the bubble. I talked to Brian Mull today on my show, and all the teams that are on the bubble, all the teams that could still, everybody's still playing their conference tournament, basically. So you had 200 guys enter the transfer portal last week after a lot of conferences finished things up. Now you're probably going to have many more added to the transfer portal. There's a chance, talking to different Division I coaches and assistants all throughout the year this year, it could get into early September before rosters are finalized with this transfer portal stuff. And you know, how that will favor, I think ECU's got to be ready to do whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. I mean, I transfer portals become a year-round, almost like a second recruiting time for coaches looking for the transfer portal to fill holes. And now with everybody getting an extra year of eligibility, it just adds another element to it. But you talk about the conference tournament. To me, it's simple. If we want to have a chance in the conference tournament, we got to get hot from three and stay hot from three.
Well, look at Cincinnati the other day. I mean, they're next to the last in the league at shooting the three. And they shot it like the Golden State Warriors of a few years ago the other day. Yeah. Pirates had been shooting the three ball okay, much improved from last year. But this second lull, Joe said today, we have a chance to finally get some reps and play some games. Now, is it enough time to get hot and get going? We'll see. I mean, you know, as crazy as it sounds, the conditioning's a big thing. I thought ECU looked tired in the second half at times the other day, much less than they did against UCF. I thought their legs were a little heavy at times. And again, I think when Jaden is surrounded and you can't get the ball to him, you gonna have guys making those threes like you noted, Kyle. That's a problem because there's really nowhere to go for this team right now.
Yeah, and guys, I want you guys to be thinking about this before Patrick goes for his conversation with his wife. He brought it up. Before he goes, I want.
Well, wait a minute, Kyle. I haven't scheduled a my wife and I have a phone call we've got to be on.
Well,
I haven't scheduled a conversation with my wife. Well,
yeah, I didn't know if your wife may be out of. Your wife may be out of town.
No, she never goes anywhere. That's why I got to go over. She looks forward to she always asks me, are you going to be gone this weekend doing a game?
So you and your wife have an important phone call to make with someone else. Okay.
Precisely.
All right. So before he goes, I need both y'all's favorite transitional champions since he brought it up.
The Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik, baby.
The Iron Sheik's your favorite transitional champion. Really?
Sheiky baby. Sheiky baby's the best. Well, I mean, I'm a Bret Hart mark. So
who the hell would have thought me and Patrick Johnson would have had that in common?
See?
I'm a huge Bret Hart fan.
Right. So, like, when Bret won it at the pay-per-view and then lost it on Raw that one day back in the pre-Attitude era. But look, Brett's a five-time champion. We can't call him a transit. So it's the Sheiky baby. Sheiky baby's my favorite transitional champion. Perhaps the late great Ivan Koloff in the WWWF.
Yeah, Sheik, in terms of importance, and winning it from Backlund and then losing it to Hogan, that's pretty stout. I'm gonna have to. You know, I brought up the topic. Now I'm gonna have to think about it. I was going Ronnie Garvin, but you can't be a transitional champion when you beat Flair, then lose it to Flair. So that really doesn't work. So,
right. That was just. I mean, Tommy Rich, maybe. Maybe Tommy.
Yeah,
Rich.
Yeah, I don't. I really. No, he Harley beat him, and then he lost it to Harley. So that's really not transitional. So yeah. I'm gonna have to think about it, Dave. Have you got anybody?
I wasn't prepared for that one. I have to think on that one as well. With the
Cheeky Baby,
Cheeky
gotta
Baby.
Be Cheeky right. Baby.
Yeah. By the way, definitely a good one.
I dressed as the Iron Sheik one year during Greenville Halloween when I was in school. I had gotten these shoes that were clown shoes, and I'd spray painted them to look like the Sheik's boots because they had the curled toes.
Yes.
What a great costume. Cheeky Baby.
That sounds good. By the way, PJ, we've got people. If you want any of the fans want to talk to Patrick, then you can put in the comments for Facebook and YouTube. And Carol Owen says hi. So there you go.
Hi to Carol.
There you go.
Hi, Carol.
There you go.
I got it. We'll get done with this topic.
Speaking of the Iron Sheik,
I'm gonna go, Patrick. We'll stay on that same line of thinking with Bob Backlund, Iron Sheik. Bob Backlund beats Bret Hart at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Diesel beats Bob Backlund at the Garden.
Yeah, that's
so
probably
go
another
Bob
good one.
Backlund is my favorite transitional champion.
That was a sweet bit of irony, was it not?
Indeed.
Yeah.
let's talk while we have a chance to the firing of no surprise Les Miles at Kansas. Want to get you guys thoughts on that. And so get your thoughts on that. And the second part of this is, what is the toughest football job in America? I'm going to go Kansas, but there's other jobs. But I think Kansas has got to be the toughest. They fired the AD today, apparently.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Okay. So the AD's gone. So the old adage, don't hire your friends, get you fired. When you hire Les Miles as your friend. But I just want to get your take on that for you guys.
Toughest football job in America is New Mexico State and our buddy Doug Martin's out there.
Because are they still independent?
They are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because they don't have the fan base Liberty does. They don't certainly have the fan base or following that BYU or Notre Dame or Liberty will have you believe that every evangelical will root for them like every Catholic does Notre Dame and every Mormon does BYU. I'm being serious about that. You know, Army and Navy obviously have, or Navy when they were independent, but Army has its own following, quite obviously, in the national following of that. So yeah, New Mexico is probably tough. I think of the P5, Kansas and Vanderbilt are probably two of the toughest ones for various reasons. And then Duke. Yeah. I mean, look, they want to get rid of Cutcliffe and Durham. Do they remember what the hell was going on there before he got there?
Yeah, big mistake. I wouldn't get rid of Cut.
No,
toughest Power Five job. Yeah, I think you got to go Kansas. I don't. Vanderbilt, it is in the South, obviously. It's got academic restrictions, but it still is in the South. Kansas, I really don't know. Honestly, when you look back at Mangino at Kansas, what he did there was remarkable. I really don't know what Kansas does at this point. It's been disaster after disaster. In terms of Les, I honestly haven't kept up with that story. I know, he evidently – I had some inappropriate actions with some young ladies that were students at LSU. What exactly is the story with that, guys? Because I didn't start keeping up with this until I heard he got fired at Kansas, and then I was like, all right, what happened? So, what exactly did he do while he was at LSU?
It says inappropriate contact with female students. In Kansas. All right, I'm kind of like you. I'm reading this.
It was why he was in Baton Rouge. It was at LSU, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it is. So it stems back to what happened at LSU.
Dave, do you have more details on it? I mean, I know, obviously.
Yeah, I just know basic stuff. I don't know, the intimate details of it. But
I guess this stems from what happened at LSU, and now he's toasted
basically
Kansas.
From what I read, he maybe had a few students alone at his house in Baton Rouge. Made an offer to one of them that he could help her out with her career and some financial stuff, and I'd like to know the true details. Obviously, it's 2021 and you're not going to get away with that, but I'd like to know the true details. I'd like to know, was it multiple girls? Was it one or two girls? Well,
the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if it's one or 100.
It does to me.
But it just takes one, unless you're
Oh yeah, it takes one. Well, yeah. It takes one, but there may have been 20. It may have been one that spoke up and 20 that didn't.
It just,
and unless you might have been glad to take the money.
And unless you're a Democrat, it doesn't, it matters. Unless you're not to get political, guys. I'm sorry. I say that in a little bit of jest. But I mean, it's just in this day and age, you can't have that situation. I'll say this, though. And the LSU things, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, are just allegations at this point, correct? Is that what the LSU situation is?
It goes back to 2013. They did an internal investigation, but you know how those go, P-Man.
Right. I mean, so my point is this. He doesn't lose to on quasi-national television to, Coastal. He doesn't go out there and lay an egg like he has. Who knows where this is.
I think in 2021, unfortunately, I say, unfortunately, God, people are going to take me wrong. I think in 2021, he's gone no matter what. If it was, 2000,
they were looking for. Yeah. They were looking any way they could fire him. This is a good excuse.
I don't know about that, Dave. I don't know about that. I mean, with the way society is now, I'm not even sure we're allowed to look at women without asking them first anymore. So, you're going to get fired if you have any kind of allegations like that.
I think that's just it. I mean, they're allegations. They need to be taken seriously, and Kansas made the decision to do what they have done. Why didn't anything happen at LSU? Again, he at the time was a national champion chip coach, but and times are much, much different. So, look, with the cloud of that, but just with what you've got to do in the Big 12, you got to score points. You got to bring somebody in. And that's the other thing. On the field, they ran an absolute archaic system that was not going to score enough points to win football games in the Big 12 as it is. This was inevitable. It might have been the on the field that eventually would have got him.
If I was Kansas, and with all the air raid there and with their lack of talent, if it were me, I don't know how much longer Ken Miamatalolo is going to want to coach at Navy. He's been there for forever. I would throw everything I could at Miamatalolo or either coach Munkin up at Army, and I'd run the triple option. I'd do something completely different. I think that would give Kansas an advantage in the Big 12. That they're not going to ever have the most talent, run a unique offense, this run base versus pass base like everybody else in the Big 12. That's what I'd do. I'd be hiring Coach Munkin at Army or Coach Miamatalolo at Navy.
By the way, so a guy that I think you know who he is, Ben Byram, says the Sheik sucks.
Super producer Ben Byram. Yeah, he's not a fan of the Sheik. Ben's been a wild man today, so he's back to outlandish jive talk. But he's a big look. Ben gets emotional about combat sports, so he'll have an opinion on this as far as that goes. He loves the UFC, the MMA. Boxing and to a degree pro wrestling. He's all about it. He gets emotional about it.
Yeah, speaking of pro wrestling, we're just all over the place tonight. Do you guys see the exploding ring in AEW Sunday night?
I've heard about it, and I've heard it was an embarrassment, is what I heard.
It was ridiculous. Tony Khan's a joke. The Jacksonville Jaguars is a joke of an organization for football, and his wrestling promotion is a joke. That exploding ring was I would have asked for a refund if I ordered that pay-per-view. It was beyond embarrassing. I mean, it was a popcorn fart, to say the least.
Let's talk about something that's been going well, and that's the Pirates on the baseball diamond. Pirates now 10-2. Some polls a top 10 team now. PJ, we got a few minutes with you, so I want to make sure we can talk wrestling all night. But what Cliff and the boys have done, really proud of the program. And man, they have I've said on the show almost every episode, I really believe we have a super regional team, the first time ever in Greenville.
Hopefully so. The thing that I think that fans probably, and Coach Godwin mentioned this beginning of the year, but it does ring true. Not only do the Pirates bring a lot back, but a lot of other really good teams brought a lot back as well. That, as we've seen, that super regional round is kind of the next strata, and the Pirates have been beating on that door for a number of years. The pitching is obviously phenomenal. I talked to some people who were at this game from a coverage standpoint yesterday, non-ECU related folks today. They were impressed not only by the pitching that ECU has, but also just the way that the Pirates are swinging the bat. I mean, look at Seth Cadell, who all of a sudden, you know, the big knock was, well, great leader, going to be great behind the plate defensively and handling the staff. And, you know, that's one of those things. He's now hitting for average. Guys, I need to scoot, but appreciate it very much, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, PJ, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.
No doubt.
One thing to look forward to in baseball is we hit towards conference play. We got a couple more non-conference series, but once we get in conference play, there's going to be no more midweek games, so we're going to have four-game series. And with the pitching depth we have, where we can use 7-8 pitchers in a game, playing four-game series in place of a midweek game means, you know, you're going to have to go 3-1 to win your series. You can split them at 2-2. I think that gives us a huge advantage, because a lot of teams struggle with midweek pitchers. So the fact that we're set there, and now that midweek pitcher is going to come into play for conference series, I don't know. Who knows what's going to end up happening? But just on paper, I think we could end up having a really special record in conference.
No question. I mean, you look at the Pirates, and that makes a great point, Kyle. That fact that we're going to dominate. I think the conference that we're going to dominate the conference because we have the pitching where some of the others may not. But I would argue that we have the best pitching in the conference without even.
We have the most depth. I don't know that we have the best, you know, 1-2-3 Friday, Saturday, Sunday starters. But we have the most depth, and with playing four-game series in conference, that could be a big advantage for us.
No question. We're looking forward to spending time with the Pirates, and I was talking to a Pirate fan today that you know, Kyle. The very fact that I'm hoping that we can have fans in the stands for the regional and for the super regional coming up, that would be, like, in other words, a full house or close to a full house to finally have the fans back. They're going to be – that place is going to be rocking at Clark LeClair.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much they, you know, with COVID numbers keep going down, vaccine numbers keep going up. It'll be interesting to see at what point, you know, they allow it to go to 100% for outside. I don't know if it'll be by June or May or not. I'd like to see an increase from 30%. You know, if things go well, 30% here and numbers aren't going up, let's go ahead and go up to 50%. And then let's keep increasing it, little at a time, until we get to 100%.
No question. I'm excited. I tell you what, we got a situation now where we're going to, if you look at it, Kyle, if we continue, I was thinking about this afternoon, 3-1, if we continue to go 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, then that's going to be fantastic. And we have a big series coming up, Kyle, and this weekend with Charlotte. I want to get your take. We have Coach Robert Woodard, that second-year coach.
I believe Charlotte beat Tennessee last night.
They did. And our very own Bubba Rosenbaum had a chance to catch up with him. And let's go to that right now.
Dave's having technical difficulties. Bear with us, and we'll have that interview.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So keep, I guess it's not there like what I was looking for. So apologize.
We don't have the interview. We lied to you.
Hey, we will have it, and we'll have it in moments. So I'll keep looking for it. So keep talking, Kyle.
All right. We picked up a nice grad transfer for football. I mentioned on the last show, offensive lineman out of Oregon State. We have a big-time offensive lineman from Texas Tech that was their third highest-graded offensive lineman last year. He's played a lot of football for the Red Raiders that is in the transfer portal that is going to be visiting Greenville on his own dime with his parents. So that bodes well. Right now, you know, Crystal Ball over at Hoist the Colors, Steve Igo's site, says he's going to be a Pirate. If we pick him up, that'll be a huge commitment. That's the kind of kid that's a difference maker on the O-line. So as we you know, we're getting into spring football, keep an eye on that. And then after the FCF season's going, which, by the way, there's been a lot of discussion over the years about moving FCS football or even Group of Five football to the spring. This should end that discussion because nobody's paying any attention to it. Right. It's not on TV anywhere. There are probably people out there right now that don't even realize it's going on. But after the FCS season is done, I think it's going to be an interesting situation. You got kids that are seniors there at FCS schools right now that are going to have another year of eligibility. And you're going to have, and because they will have all graduated because they're seniors, you're going to have a lot of kids now who can go play, who are finishing up their senior year this year, this spring at FCS schools, that are going to be graduated, who can have one year more year of eligibility, who may get their shot to go play FBS ball. A lot of those kids that are seniors this year at JMU, Coach Houston would have recruited. So who knows what can happen? Maybe some defensive linemen or linebackers from the FCS ranks to kind of strengthen up that core, which we were young at last year. I do think we're solid at defensive line and linebacker, but you could always use some grad transfers there, particularly at defensive end. And it'll be interesting to see this summer how those guys that are graduating this spring that are going to have another year of eligibility at the FCS level, how many of those guys transfer out to FBS programs for the fall?
No doubt about it. Let's see if we can go now to that interview. Earlier on today, this morning, our very own Bubba Rosenbaum sat down with Robert Woodard, the second-year head coach for the 49ers of Charlotte. Big series this weekend at Clark LeClair. And let's see if we can go to that right now.
Give it up, Dave. Well, Dave, maybe we should just release this interview on its own a little bit later on. Or is it already out there where people can see it?
I think it is. I think it is. But we were supposed to have both there. But anyway.
So is it available on our Facebook and YouTube pages right now?
We'll have to check and see. I haven't had a chance to see this afternoon, to be honest. I was working. So, guys,
check our Facebook and YouTube pages, and we will have that interview with Charlotte head coach Robert Woodard out on our social media on its own, so you guys can hear that after the show.
No doubt about it. Well, there's other stuff that we can definitely talk about. Get your thoughts on. What are you thinking about tomorrow night with the big game with the Pirates and UCF? We'll start that.
I honestly don't know. To be honest with you, Dave, I've lost all faith in this basketball team with all the COVID stuff. I think if we can get hot from three, we can. History shows if Jaden can get in the paint and do what Jaden does, if we can get hot from three. So he can get some shots in the paint and get fouled. We can be successful. If the threes aren't going down, we're going to get beat. I think that's the key. If we want to beat UCF and have a chance to move on in the tournament, we're going to have to get hot from three. We're going to have to stay hot for three the whole tournament. If we can do that, we'll have a shot. I mean, I really think we could, if we get hot from three, I think we can make it deep in the tournament. Who knows what could happen. But we're going to have to stay hot for three the whole tournament. So wouldn't surprise me if we win tomorrow night. Wouldn't surprise me if we go one and done.
That's going to be fantastic. By the way, Jaden Gardner, finally, the sports writers for the American voted him first team all AAC, and that was today. So we found that out. So congratulations. Well, it's the first time ever we've had a guy third team all AAC. Second team all AAC, and now this time first time ever for him that we have a player First time, first team all AAC. It's the first time we've ever had that period, my understanding. So congratulations, Jaden. That's a really big one. You talked about the football transfer portal. Man, it's going to be great. I know that when we had Coach Houston on just a few weeks ago, he was talking about, what was it, four slots he had, four scholarships left open for that?
I don't remember the exact number, but you got one taken, I'm assuming, by the offensive lineman from Morgan State. Hopefully we get the offensive lineman from Texas Tech, and that'll leave a couple more for the defensive side of the ball. I got a feeling, you know, we're just going to be taking linemen and linebackers, defensive linemen, offensive linemen, and linebackers would be my guess. I'm sure if the right receiver became available, we would take him. But it'll be interesting to see. I think there could be some real interesting talent from the FCS ranks in the grad transfer portal after the FCS spring season is done.
By the way, Mike can give us some clarification on this. Mike Radford, we'll put a comment he had up here. And that is the five most monumental ECU athletic victories. Were you there? So maybe if he can clarify, he's one of our regular viewers.
The five
viewers.
Most monumental athletic victories, were you there? Well, it depends on what you consider the five most monumental. I mean, obviously, Peach Bowl versus NC State.
I was there.
I would say 99 versus Miami.
There.
I guess technically, I don't know. Some people would argue that Houston win earlier this year in basketball. Some people would argue making the NCAA tournament win of the Colonial in basketball.
Was there?
Some people would argue that West Virginia win in Greenville when they were ranked in the top 10 in
2008, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many. That's really hard to.
What are your top five? If you're still watching, what are your five? What do you consider the five monumental victories?
You first said yes to both.
Do what?
Yeah. Put those, Mike Radford, put those on Facebook. And maybe you can, it's a hot topic there. People maybe want to chime in on what their five most monumental ECU victories are.
Are you talking all sports? Are you talking just football? I'm assuming he means all sports. You know, any of the wins over North Carolina, a lot of people say 14 because of how big the blowout was. I think it was 07. I think when you hadn't beaten them since the 70s and then you beat them in 07 in Greenville, to me, that was a pretty monumental moment.
At that particular time, the last time that, exactly. The last time that East Carolina had beaten Carolina was 1981. And I remember there was an article about Walter Williams, who was still living at the time, was 38.
What year did the last time?
What's that? The 2007 one.
What year did you say we had beaten them prior?
The last time we had beat them is, I think, 81.
I don't think that's right. It was in the 70s.
What was like 38? Was that not right? 1981?
No, it was in the 70s. I'm almost positive it was like 74 maybe. It wasn't 81.
Look that up.
It wasn't. Right, we'll look that up. Somebody will know that. Johnny Gardner, are you watching?
Look that up there. Thought it was 81 the last.
No, it wasn't 81. It wasn't 81. Yeah, but anyway,
I'll look it up here. That was
Well, look it up, Dave. This is a great show.
It is a great one.
Yeah. Go down to all-time classic.
Well, I'm trying. It helps when the person that's supposed to have an interview for us doesn't have it. So, but it's all good. Let's talk about, there's plenty of stuff to
Bubba's
talk about.
Bubba's going to kick your ass for that, Dave.
What's that?
Bubba's going to kick your ass for that.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it, you know. When we do a show, we have to have stuff ready. So,
when you get your shovel.
No, I'm not getting my shovel. I'm just digging straight up. No, I'm not. I'll say what I want to say. I mean, you know, when you're doing a live show, I mean, literally, that's the thing. So he said, I will yet, you know, anyway, you're trying to get me to do that. So I'm not going to go there. I will. He said he's going to give it all yes to all sports. So let's do that. Mike, if you can tell us, to me, I think the 93, the win over James Madison, and then when I was there at the in Winston-Salem when East Carolina took on the Tar Heels. Unfortunately, they didn't beat the Tar Heels, but they put a Lester Lyons put on a show that day and kept it close for a long time until towards the end. They end up, I believe, losing by 20.
If I'm going to go top five monumental moments in ECU history, I'm going to go probably the first ever time we beat the Tar Heels back in the 70s was not there. I'll go 91 Peach Bowl was not there. I'll go 99 versus Miami was not there. probably 07 versus North Carolina to me was a big moment. I was there for that. You look at the conference championship games. Do you want to put those in there? You know, I think of the 09 conference championship game in Houston against Houston because we were hosting it. I was there for that one. I would say that's a monumental moment. So I guess that'd be my top five. But then you're leaving out a lot of important baseball moments. Winning the regional in Greenville against South Carolina. That was a big moment. So there's a lot of other moments. It's really hard to narrow it down to five.
He's asking about the NC State win at the 19 regional. That was a nice win. I think that that actually sparked us to, for sure, to come back and win that thing. I mean, we had to play, four games and what 48 hours? I mean, it was a short period of time. And so that was a great Sunday win there, there at Clark LeClaire. I don't know if that's one of the – I mean – it's one of the best as far as the rivalries.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool moment. I wouldn't put it in the top five. Now, if you want to just say your top five moments you were at personally, and maybe that's what he means, then yeah, I mean, if you were there and that's in your top five, great. But in terms of history of I don't even know if that'd be a top five. Well, you might put that in top five moments of the history of the baseball program because that was the catalyst for us to win that regional and get on to the Supers. So, once we did that, we knew it was smooth sailing after that, even though we already had a loss. Once you beat the Wolfpack, you knew it was ours. We were going to win that regional. So, you could definitely put it in the top five moments for baseball, for sure.
No question. And certainly the that walk-off in 2016 to beat Virginia, the national champion, for the College World Series, that was huge.
I almost jumped out of a truck. I was listening to that on the radio, I was watching the regional at the house. Thought it was over, so we're on our way to Greenville. I remember we were going to eat at Red Robin, and when we came back and won that thing, I literally almost opened my truck. I had to do something, and I felt like I wanted to jump out of the truck. I ended up throwing something out of the window. I don't remember what it was. I just had to get the energy out. That was a great moment. In terms of exciting moments, yeah. Now, I don't know, how monumental that was. Had we went on and beat Texas Tech in the Supers, and you could have said, yeah, huge monumental moment. But exciting, and that was one of the most exciting moments I've ever experienced for Pirate baseball. With that comeback against Virginia, and then to win it in Charlottesville, and that catapulted us to winning that regional.
No question. I mean, it's very subjective, right? I mean, whatever you think.
It is subjective. I mean, I think you have your for sure moments, like the Peach Bowl. You know, some people would put the Pittsburgh game from that year in there too. But I think your for sure moment would be the Peach Bowl. And then after that, it's all kind of subjective.
Well, like when our good friend Terry Gallagher, the 78 Independence Bowl.
Sure.
You know, winning that was huge. The 83 team, they had a lot of, big games. And They lost to the three Florida schools with, you know, I mean, hardly those three games, and there were some bad calls in there. I mean, that could have easily been a perfect season. You know, you could talk about the perfect team, or not the perfect teams, but some of the best teams ever. You could go there. You know, some of the best coaches ever. There's a lot of things that you could play off of that, for sure. But certainly, that's something that we could talk for hours, don't you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, you named your top five moments, most monumental moments, et cetera. I mean, you could go all over the place. I think it's probably better to do it by sport. Your top five for baseball, top five for basketball, and top five for football would probably be a lot easier way to do it.
No question, because then when you're focused solely on that sport, then you have with Cliff Godwin, you could say maybe the biggest games in the one era, Cliff Godwin era. Or, you know, narrow it down.
Just say just your top five moments for that sport. I think that makes it a lot easier. I mean, I think I can clearly define the top five moments for ECU football, ECU baseball, basketball. Basketball might be the easiest because there's so few.
Yeah. Yes. There's no question about it. I mean, like we were talking about last night, there's only been a handful of winning seasons modern one era.
You go, I guess, the NCAA appearance in the 70s, the NCAA appearance, you know, the win over JMU, 93 to go to the NCAAs, your two wins over Marquette, and your win over Houston. And then I guess
you NC gotta have State
a,
game.
Yeah, you got to have an honorable mention of that NC State game in Greenville.
The 72 team that made the 72 and 93, we have two tournament appearances. So yeah. Yep. That was way before my time, but I would have to put the 72 team in there to make the tournament. It would be in my top five.
That's 93. The first one I named. Yeah,
yeah. I mean those two and the yeah. So we gotta do that. So as far as the one thing I saw the day is about thinking about the spring game. Are you going to the spring game?
Probably. Yeah. I normally don't go to the spring game. I always think it's more stressful than anything because you don't know what you're looking at. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to go to two games last year thanks to someone.
I wonder who that could be.
Do what?
I was joking. I said, I wonder who that could be.
Right, yeah. Well, you know who it is, but we won't say their name. And
I know.
And but it's gonna be great to get in there with some actual fans. You know, only 7% last year. Well, 30% for football, which is that's about a normal spring game attendance. In fact, that would be a good spring game attendance if we could get 30% in there. So let's pack it. Let's get the most we can get in there, which is 30%, and have some fun watching these guys play.
No question, especially when by then for sure there's going to be tailgating, right? I mean, they're already.
I mean, that's next month. So, I mean, I don't maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
They already have it now where you have 10 people or less together, like in a right for the outdoor stuff. So you can spread that out where you, in other words, it's not going to be
a
regular.
Well, I mean, if you want to tailgate, you can tailgate. You can find spots to tailgate. I mean, we tailgated some Bubba and I and a few other people, you know, in one of the little side streets for the Tulane game. So, I mean, if you want to tailgate, you can find somewhere to tailgate.
No question about it. Got a nice message today. By the way, I want to make sure that I give a shout out to our good friends at Next Level Training Center. I want to give a shout out to Trent Britt, who was kind enough to sponsor our program. And I want to give them a shout out as they actually sponsored our program. They had a great event on Sunday, Kyle. They had so many boys there. They had a huge event. They had the big tryouts on, I think it was on Saturday. Trent told me that things are going very, very well at Next Level Training Center in Greenville. Give them a call, 252-756-NEXT, and you can give them a call, and they'll tell you all about everything they have coming up. If you want to be a member, you can find out about memberships. You can go there as a guest. You can do that like we do because we don't live in Greenville, or we would definitely be a member there at Next Level. But you can go to Next Level TC.com, and they have a great, Kyle, you got to check out their Facebook page. They got a really good Facebook page, but Trent sent me a nice note, and I want to give him a shout out. I appreciate him sponsoring Extra Innings. We're going to have Extra Innings with Corey Glore coming up on Sunday, and he'll talk about the Duke game from certainly last night and the Charlotte series this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Man, that Charlotte team is red hot right now.
Yeah, I need to just try to take two out of three. Believe me, if we go 4-0 this week, this would be a special week. But if we can get two out of three this weekend in Greenville, take it and be glad. Conference USA is a pretty solid league. Charlotte's good. The Florida schools are good. Atlantic and FIU. Southern Miss is good. So if we can take care of business against Charlotte this weekend, get two out of three, have a 3-1 week, and celebrate.
What about the one question I want to have for you, Kyle. What did you think about the fans being back in the stands last weekend?
That was good to see. I mean, there really wasn't much of a crowd there Friday that I could tell, but Saturday was a nice crowd. It was a good game Saturday for them to watch, too. It was pretty competitive. It was great to see them back. I mean, I hope those numbers keep increasing. And one thing I would encourage people, if you can't use your ticket, make sure you get it to somebody that can. It's only 1,200 people allowed in. So if you have a ticket, you can't use it, get it to somebody who can.
No question. By the way, fans, I want to remind you, too, go ahead and something I'm glad I thought about, haven't done so far, but I will, is renew your season tickets for football. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. You can also go to ecupirates.com. and renew them that way. But Kyle, it's going to be a lot of people in the stands this year. I have a good feeling.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be 100% capacity. I think we will be. I guess there's a slight chance we won't, but I think we're going to be back at 100% by September. So, yeah, get your tickets. Like you said, ecupirates.com, 1-800-ECU. And don't forget, if you rolled your money over from last year, you need to go check your email or check your mailbox, because your season tickets have already been paid for, and they want to know how you want to receive them. And Dave, this year, it looks like we're not going to have traditional tickets available. Looks like your two options will be print at home or either a ticket on your phone. So that's an interesting thing. I chose a digital ticket, so I will have my tickets emailed to me. And then I will put them in my wallet, my Apple wallet, and that's how I'll be going to the games this year.
I guess that's what I'll be doing, the same thing, my friend, is I have an iPhone. Kyle, I was very excited. Speaking of next level, Alexander actually had a chance to go. We were talking about, and he actually got to showcase something very, very cool, and that is from our good friends at pgxgloves.com, Kyle. And I'm telling you, one of the things Bubba did this past week, he actually put in that golf glove. And a lot of people are going crazy over that golf glove that they have at pgxgloves.com.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been saying for a while. If you happen to be out in our audience and you play golf like so many Pirates do, and go to pgxgloves.com, get yourself some golf gloves. Your baseball season's starting up now. If your kid plays baseball, little league, middle school, high school, whatever, get them some batting gloves. pgxgloves.com, put in code ECU at checkout. Save yourself 25%, and don't forget about their swag. They got pretty cool T-shirts, hats, et cetera.
No question. And also, we want to remind our friends that the very thing with the baseball and softball coming up, there are a lot of people that are taking advantage of that 25% off. Again, promo code ECU, and get 25% off. Want to talk again about Extra Innings, brought to you by Next Level Training Center. We'll have that big show coming up. That'll be on Sunday night. And Kyle, I tell you what, very excited about. We're going to have just for us, we'll have coming up. We'll have, there we are back with us. We'll have coming up tomorrow night, the overtime as Pirates, probably the 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. We'll be doing that. It's going to be a lot of fun as we're going to be talking Pirate basketball. And that'll be a lot of fun tomorrow night. And who knows, anything can happen. That's the great thing about a tournament. Look at the ACC. There's already been upsets all day long in the ACC tournament, and the same thing can happen. I know tournaments all over the place. Appalachian State making their first tournament appearance since 2000, Kyle. That's great with the Sun Belt champion.
Yeah, congratulations to the Mountaineers. Why not us?
I know you're excited about that, but who knows what will happen. We'll have all the results after the game. We'll have the obviously we'll have the results, and we'll also have the post-game comments from both coaches, with Johnny Dawkins and from Joe Dooley, and the players. We'll find out that about tomorrow night. And Kyle, I'm just so excited about that, and obviously with football, it's a great time to be a Pirate.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, and we'll see you tomorrow night for overtime.
All right. Until next time, fans, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you again tomorrow night right after the game. Good night, everybody.